ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायस्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। Welcome everyone for today's Bhagavatam class. We are grateful. Seeking blessings of Prabhuji. So we are reading today from 10th canto, 3rd chapter, text number 18. Yatmano drishya guneshu sanniti. व्यवस्थते स्व व्यतिरेकतो बुधः। विनानुवादं न च तन्मनीषितं सम्यग्यतस्त्यक्तम् उपाददत् पुमान्। यः Anyone who Atmanaha, of his own real identity, the soul, Drishya Guneshu, among the visible objects, beginning with the body, Sun, being situated in that position, Iti, thus, Vyavasyate, continues to act, Svavyatirekataha, as if the body were independent of the soul. Abudaha, rascal, vina anuvadam, without proper analytical study, na, not, cha, also, tat, the body and other visible objects. Manishitam, such considerations having been discussed. Samyak, fully. Yataha, because he is a fool. Tyaktam, are rejected. Upadadat, accepts this body as reality. Puman, a person. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai. One who considers his visible body, which is a product of the three modes of nature, to be independent of the soul, is unaware of the basis of existence and therefore is a rascal. Those who are learned have rejected this conclusion because one can understand through full discussion that with no basis in soul, the visible body and senses would be insubstantial. Nonetheless, although this conclusion has been rejected, a foolish person considers it a reality. Purport. Without the basic principle of soul, the body cannot be produced. So-called scientists have tried in so many ways to produce a living body in their chemical laboratories, but no one has been able to do it because unless the spirit soul is present, a body cannot be prepared from material elements. Since scientists are now enamored of theories about the chemical composition of the body, we have challenged many scientists to make even a small egg. The chemicals in eggs can be found very easily. There is a white substance and a yellow substance covered by a shell. And modern scientists should very easily be able to duplicate all this. But even if they were to prepare such an egg and put it in an incubator, this man-made chemical egg would not produce a chicken. The soul must be added because there is no question of a chemical combination for life. Those who think that life can exist without the soul have therefore been described here as abuddhaha, foolish rascals. Again, there are those who reject the body, regarding it as insubstantial. They are of the same category of fools. One can neither reject the body nor accept it as substantial. The substance is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and both the body and the soul are energies of the Supreme Godhead, as described by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 7:4-5. Bhumirapo nalavayu khammano buddhirevacha ahankare tiyam me bhinna prakritirashtadha apareyam itasvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhutam mahabaho yaidam dharyate jagat. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego. Altogether, these eight comprise my separated material energies. But besides this inferior nature, O mighty Arjuna, this is a superior energy of mine, which consists of all living entities, was struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. The body, therefore, has a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as the soul does. Since both of them are energies of the Lord, neither of them is false, because they come from the reality. One who does not know this secret of life is described as abuddhaha. According to the Vedic injunctions, aitad dhyatmam idam sarvam, sarvam khalam idam brahma. Everything is a supreme Brahman, therefore both the body and the soul are Brahman, since matter and spirit emanate from Brahman. Not knowing the conclusion of the Vedas, some people accept the material nature as substance and others accept the spirit soul as substance. But actually Brahman is a substance. Brahman is the cause of all causes. The ingredients and the immediate cause of this manifested material world are Brahman. And we cannot make the ingredients of this world independent of Brahman. Furthermore, since the ingredients and the immediate cause of this material manifestations are Brahman, both of them are truth, satya. There is no validity to the expression Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. The world is not false. Jnanis reject this world and foolish persons accept this world as reality. And in this way, they both are misguided. Although the body is not as important as the soul, we cannot say that it is false. Yet, the body is temporary and only foolish materialistic persons who do not have full knowledge of the soul regard the temporary body as reality and engage in decorating this body. Both of these pitfalls, rejection of the body as false and acceptance of the body as all in all, can be avoided when one is fully situated in Krishna consciousness. If we regard this world as false, we fall into the category of asuras who say that this world is unreal, with no foundation and no God in control, asatyam apratistham te jagat ahur anishwaram. As described in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this is a conclusion of demons.
Om ajnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya shakshimlitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinavandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sati Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vesha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो वी आर रीडिंग द प्रेयर्स बाय वसुदेव आफ्टर कृष्णास अपीयरेंस एंड इट सीम्स लिटिल स्ट्रेंज दैट वी आर इन द 10th कैंटो बट स्टिल यू सी टाइम एंड अगेन इन ऑल द प्रेयर्स इन सेकेंड चैप्टर वी हर्ड द प्रेयर्स विद द डेमीगॉड्स देयर ऑल्सो दे स्पीक अबाउट फिलोसफी of how the world is created and the five elements etc. And here also imagine Krishna has been born as son of Vasudev and when he is praying he is offering prayer in which he is talking about the creation and how this body independent of the soul is of no value but then there are some foolish people who consider this body to be all and all. So this is very important because this is sometimes we feel that we should just talk of higher things in bhakti, but this is a foundation that this has to be heard again and again and realized. We might have heard this, but realization is a different thing. So when we hear again and again and contemplate on these subjects, then actually we can realize. So therefore, and Srila Prabhupada very elaborately explains this verse. And so in this purport, if you see, Srila Prabhupada is first of all, he is beginning with a scientist. Now, Prabhupada never misses the chance to prove the scientist as wrong and to actually. So here he is saying that life comes from life. Life never comes from chemicals. And he is challenging such a nice example. He says that you have those chemicals. You can make an artificial egg, put that white matter, put the yellow matter and show an egg from which chicken can come out. And it's not possible. Srila Prabhupada challenged scientists 50 years back. And even now science has not produced it. Can never do it. Actually in the early part of the 20th century, some scientists were thinking of making a self-replicating machine. You know, just like human beings, animals, they replicate themselves, they reproduce themselves. So some scientists came with an idea that maybe we can make a machine. Imagine we had a car and the car produces new cars. So that was an idea that scientists can create a machine that can create new machines on its own, just like we see in the living beings. But it never happened. 50, 60, 70 years have passed. So now scientists are realizing that's impossible task. And Srila Prabhupada has challenged that time itself. He said, science can never do that. He gave an example of post-dated check that they give you. Prabhupada says that suppose I give you a post-dated check of 1 crore rupees. But the date is, let's say, 2050 or 2080. What's the use? So, similarly, the scientists always they promise that in future we'll do it. That time, of course, they were challenging a lot. Now the scientists have become a little humble, especially COVID has made them more humble, that in spite of such advancement in science and technology, they cannot fight even a small virus. So, this is very important that it can never happen. So life is something different. Life is different from matter. And soul must be added. Only then there is life. So Srila Prabhupada is saying there are one class of people who reject the soul. And they say body is all in all. Like the karmis or the scientist. And another class of men, Srila Prabhupada says, the jnanis, they reject the body. They reject the world. They say Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya. So they are also wrong. Because Srila Prabhupada says that Bhumir Apo Anale Vayu Kham Mano Buddhi Revacha. So earth, water, air. So all these ingredients of this world, they are also Krishna's energy. So how can Krishna's energy be false? Krishna's energy is not false. So both of them are wrong. So on one side we have people who are karmis, who just want to enjoy in this world, or the scientists who say that matter is everything, right? So they are also wrong. But on the other hand, there are some philosophers who say Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya. the world is false. But Srila Prabhupada clearly says, no, world is not false. So both are wrong. So although the body is temporary, it's not false. It's reality. And the body has to be taken care of. The body has to be used in Krishna's service. Prabhupada says that both of these pitfalls, what are the two pitfalls? Rejection of the body as false and acceptance of the body as all in all. So they are two wrong understanding. So some people, they think that body is everything. Just want to take care of the body, decorate the body, enjoy the body. And there are some philosophers who say the body is false. And they do severe austerities, they go to Himalayas. I'm talking the true jnanis, you know. They completely reject this body. Prabhupada is saying both of these understandings are wrong. And how to avoid that? Prabhupada says can be avoided when one is in fully situated in Krishna consciousness. So that's the only solution. If somebody is Krishna conscious, then he has a real understanding of the world. He understands that yes, I am the soul. This world is real. This body is real. It has been given to me. It's temporary. But I should use it in Krishna's service. So that is the right understanding, the Krishna conscious understanding, that the world is not false, but our desire to enjoy in this world, that is illusion. When we think that I am the proprietor, I am the enjoyer, that understanding is false. But when we consider everything, Jai Shri Gaur Nitai Krishna Balaram Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai. Actually, if you see in this world, that majority of the population are in the category of karmis. Let's say maybe more than 90%. They just want to enjoy. They have no conception of God, or even if they have conception of God, they pray to God for material desires, or they may be atheist, but they want to enjoy. They are karmis. And only few of them, maybe hardly some percentage, they are jnanis. That means they understand the futility of this world, and they try to speculate and philosophize. But many of them, they don't come to the right conclusion, the jnanis. They either become impersonalist or voidist. So therefore Srila Prabhupada was very strong against this philosophy. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Deshatarini. So even if some person takes interest in spiritual path, most of them, they are misguided by impersonalism and voidism. I don't know, but I've heard that Buddhism is very popular these days. Is it in West, especially, I heard? So what is Buddhism? I mean, some people, they realize, okay, this world is full of suffering. So Buddhists say, finish this world, zero. Everything is zero. That's Shunyavada. That's not correct understanding. Or the Mayavadis, impersonalists, they say everything is Brahman, everything is one. The soul will merge into the Brahman and become God. I remember when I was in college, I saw a boy wearing a t-shirt and it was written that I was an atheist till the time I realized that I am God. So this is what people, they are either atheist or they say I am God, right? Or they are karmis, they want to enjoy, or they say that I am also God and I have realized, you just have to realize that you are God. So both these understandings are absolutely wrong, and unfortunately in this world you find only these kind of people. The karmis, those who want to enjoy. The jnanis, those who speculate and they come to false understanding. Some of them are voidist or some of them are impersonalist. So all these are wrong philosophies, false conceptions. The real understanding is that everything comes from Krishna and we use everything in Krishna's service. This is Krishna consciousness. So this is what we have to come to the conclusion. Of course, most of us here, we have come to that conclusion. But still, the seeds of karma and jnana are there in our heart. There's a very interesting verse. I was thinking sometimes, you know, sometimes even after practicing for so many years, sometimes a feeling of frustration comes. That why I'm not able to advance, or why I'm not able to achieve Krishna Prem. There's a very nice verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and also quoted in Nectar of Devotion, Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. This is from teachings to Rupa Goswami, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, this is teachings of Mahaprabhu Rupa Goswami. Bhukti mukti spriha yavat pisachiridhi vartate tavat bhakti sukhasyatra katham abhudayo bhavet. So bhukti mukti spriha yavat pisachi ridhi vartate. So translation is, the material desire to enjoy the material world and the desire to become liberated from material bondage are considered to be two witches, and they haunt one like host. As long as these witches remain within the heart, how can one feel transcendental bliss? As long as these two witches remain in the heart, there is no possibility of enjoying the transcendental bliss of devotional service. So this verse clearly gives the answer that why we are not able to taste the highest essence of Krishna consciousness, because there are two witches. Very strong words, pisachi. Pisachi is in Bengali, right? Pisachi means in Sanskrit also witches, ghost or witch. So as long as they are haunted by these two witches, what is that? Bhukti and mukti. So bhukti means desire to enjoy in this world, and mukti is to be liberated. So both of these desires are against the principle of pure devotional service. So as all of you know that Nectar of Devotion, the basis or the most important verse in entire Nectar of Devotion of Bhakti Rasama Sindhu is a definition of pure devotional service. Anya bhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. That pure devotional service means that one has to be devoid of all conceptions of jnana and karma. That means desire to enjoy in this world, fruitive activity, or just dry speculation, philosophy, jnana. So one has to be freed from jnana and karma, and one has to act, do some practical service for the pleasure of Krishna. Anushilam, purpose is not that you simply have to sit down, no. Do practical service, like so many devotees are doing book distribution, managing the temple, doing so many services, deity worship in the kitchen. So these are practical services that one has to do to please Krishna. That consciousness of pleasing Krishna is very important. And without any conception of jnana and karma, then that is pure devotional service. And when we are completely freed of these two witches, a bhukti and mukti, then we can taste the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. So reason why we are not able to taste the ecstasy, or the reason why one doesn't have the taste for holy name, is this. Because we are not able to give up these two desires, bhukti and mukti. Somehow it's deep rooted. Although with a sincere purpose we have come to this Krishna consciousness movement, we are practicing, but somehow these desires are still there in our heart, bhukti and mukti. And they are like pisachi. I heard one pastime where Rupa Goswami, when he was writing Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and he gave this book for editing to one scholar called Ballavacharya, who was a very famous scholar. Even now there is a full sampradaya, Ballavacharya, the followers like Srinathji and other places, they follow Ballava Sampradaya. So once Rupa Goswami gave him Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu for editing. He was a great scholar, and you know, Rupa Goswami by nature was very humble. So he said that, I have written this book and you are such a great scholar, please edit this and please correct if there are any mistakes. So he pointed out at this verse and he said that, okay, bhukti is a pisachi. Okay, bhukti is fine. Bhukti is like a witch. But why have you written mukti also as a witch? So he could not accept the fact. He said, how can desire for liberation be also compared to a witch? Because normally those who want liberation, they are considered very high people, you know, they are above this world, and they are not, they don't want to enjoy in this world, they want liberation. But Rupa Goswami says that both of the desires are equally bad. So Ballavacharya said, no, please correct this. So he went away, and Jiva Goswami was hearing that. He was just sitting there, and when he went away, Jiva Goswami went behind Ballavacharya, and then he started questioning him, and he said, my spiritual master Rupa Goswami, whatever is written is true. There is no need of any correction. and they had a small argument based on scriptures, and Jiva Goswami convinced him fully that how mukti, the desire for liberation, is also a pisachi. And then Ballabhacharya came back and he told, Ari Rupa, you have such a learned disciple, Jiva Goswami, why you have to give to me anything for eating? Please, you show him, he is very learned. So that time Rupa Goswami didn't say anything and Ballabhacharya went away. But then Rupa Goswami became very angry with Jiva Goswami. He said, Jiva, you have no right to stay in Vrindavan. You get out from here. You are so proud. Ballabhacharya is such an exalted Vaishnav, such a senior Vaishnav. Even Lord Chaitanya respects him. And I had given him this book for correction. And you are so arrogant and proud that you have argued with him and tried to defeat him. You have no qualification to stay in Vrindavan. You get out from here. Twice like this happened. Two incidents, you must have heard that in the life of Jiva Goswami, such an incident happened for two times. Another time also a very mundane scholar, very proud of his scholarship, he had come and he wanted signature of all the scholars that I have been defeated by you. So he came to Rupa Goswami, said, okay, take my signature, because he didn't want to waste time arguing with this foolish scholar. But then Jiva Goswami felt offended. Because he came to Jiva Goswami and told, look, your spiritual master has signed, now you also sign in this. So just to protect the position of Rupa Goswami, so Jiva Goswami had an argument with him, debate with him for 7 days, and he defeated him. And that time also when Rupa Goswami heard this, he became very angry with Jiva Goswami. He said, why you have to waste so much of your time and energy to argue with this foolish scholar, just to prove that you are superior, you go out of Vrindavan. So two times it happened like that. Jiva Goswami was ostracized from Vrindavan, and then somehow later Sanatan Goswami, once he brought him back. He was in Braj only. People say that there is a crocodile hole near Gokul where he went, and he was crying and chanting and lamenting. He became very sick also, and then when he came back, then Rupa Goswami personally, he took care of his health. And he gave him Radha Damodar deities also, which you have in Vrindavan. So two times this incident happened in life of Jiva Goswami. So because of this verse, I just told this pastime. So it's hard for people to accept this, that even the desire for mukti is also like a pisachi. Because pure devotees, they don't want even liberation. And definitely they don't want the liberation of merging into Brahman. That is narkayate, kaivalyam narkayate. Prabhupada Saraswati says that the liberation to merge into Brahman, that is worse than going to hell for a devotee. A devotee can go to hell because there also he can start preaching, there also he can remember Krishna. But when you merge into Brahman, you lose your entity. And that a devotee never wants, because he always wants to serve the Lord. So that is worse than going to hell for a devotee. Devotee never accepts that. But even other kinds of liberation, like Salokya, Sarshti, Samipya, Sayujya, even those liberation, a devotee is not very keen. You know, the other four liberations, like going to the same planet as Krishna, having the same bodily features as Krishna, staying near to Krishna, and having the same opulence like Krishna. Even those kinds of mukti, like going to Vaikuntha planet, even that, a devotee, a pure devotee, is not so much, doesn't care for that so much. That is pure devotion service. It's a very high thing, that one is completely freed from all conceptions of jnana and karma. And we have so many nice examples in our shastras where devotees, they pray to Krishna, I don't want mukti, I don't want bhukti, I don't want any of these things. Like the famous prayer which Mahaprabhu has taught all of us, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamay, mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatat bhaktir ahetuketu. So he says, I don't want wealth, I don't want women, I don't want followers, I don't want fame. And then he says, I don't even want liberation. Why? Because he's saying, mama janmani janmanishvare, let me take births, no problem. But whenever I take birth, what I want? Bhavatat bhaktir ahetuketu. That may always serve your lotus feet. That is the prayer of a pure devotee. And we have so many beautiful prayers, so many songs, like Bhakti Vinod Thakur prays, कीट जन्म हो यथा यथा तुआ दास बहिर्मुख ब्रह्मा जन्मे नहीं अभिलाष. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, and Srila Prabhupada often quoted this, that how a pure devotee is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying that, oh my Lord, I am ready to become an insect in my next birth, no problem, but make me an insect in the house of a devotee. But if I am devoid of your devotional service, then I don't even want the birth of Brahma. So this is the mood of a devotee, that he is ready to take any birth, no problem, as long as his devotional service continues, no problem. But if he doesn't get the chance to associate with devotees, to perform devotional service, then he doesn't even care for the post of Brahma, or doesn't even care for liberation. There are so many prayers like that in Srimad Bhagavatam. For instance, Vritrasur, this past time when Chitraketu Maharaj, he became Vritrasur. So he offers very famous prayers to Lord. So in that also he says, Nanaka Prishtham Nachaparamishtham Na Sarvabhomam Narasadhipatyam Na Yoga Siddhira Punarbhavamva Samanjasastva Viraheya Kangshe. So he says, Nanaka Prishtham, that I don't want the place of Brahma or a special star like Dhruv Maharaj. I don't want that. I don't want to be ruler of the entire world, Sarvabhauma. I don't want yogic, mystic siddhi. You know, the yogis, they have mystic perfection. They can create a universe. They can destroy a planet. They can become lighter than the lighter, and lighter than lightest, heavier than heaviest. The mystic perfections. They can attract everyone. So devotee doesn't care for that also. He doesn't want those yogic siddhis. So he says, I don't want yogic siddhis. I don't want to be the ruler of the entire planet. I don't even want to go to heavenly planet. Then he says, Apunar Bhavamva. That means, I even don't want liberation. Apunar Bhava means, you don't take birth again. He says, don't even want that. I just want your devotional service. So even Prithu Maharaj prays like that. And in so many prayers in Bhagavatam, you'll find where devotees are praying that, oh my Lord, I don't want any form of material enjoyment. I even don't want liberation. Like Prahlad Maharaj prays that, I simply want to serve my spiritual master Narad Muni. I am not like the Munis who go to Himalayas and they are interested in their own liberation. And Prabhupada liked this mood of Prahlad Maharaj so much. Prahlad Maharaj says that, I am feeling suffering for the, my heart is paining. That naivod vijay paraduratya vetaranyas tad virya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. That I am very happy in remembering your pastimes, chanting your names, but soche tatha vimukha. So, but when I think of those people who are running after this materialistic happiness in this world, I feel compassion for them, I feel sorry for them, and I want to preach to them. So this is the mood of pure devotees. They are never interested in their own enjoyment, and they even don't want liberation. We had Damodarashtakam also. Satyavrata Muni prays, Varam deva moksham na moksham vadimva na chanyam vreneham vareshadapiha idam deva purnatha gopala balam sadame manasya virashtam kimanye. There also he prays that, I don't want, oh Lord, you can give any benediction, I know, you are Varandeva, you can fulfill all desires, but I don't want anything from you. Not even Varandeva Moksham, I don't even want Moksha, liberation from you. I simply want to see your beautiful form, Idam Te Vapurnatha, Gopala Balam, Gopal Krishna, I want to see this beautiful form of yours. That is my only desire, I don't want anything else. So similarly, there are so many beautiful prayers by great devotees and acharyas where they are teaching us that what should be our mood when we pray to Krishna, or what should be our aspiration. Because even among devotees, it's very rare to find someone who doesn't have these aspirations. Like even when Mahaprabhu went to Madhvacharyas, he said they also have tinge of jnana. I mean, they also are too much into studying the scriptures and philosophizing, so they are all after liberation. So they feel that the aim of life is liberation. But Mahaprabhu has clearly taught us, what is the aim of a life? To get Krishna prema. Prema pumartho mahan. Not dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So the materialist thereafter, dharma, artha and kama. They want to enjoy. And jnani is thereafter, moksha. But Mahaprabhu has taught us that aim of life is neither material enjoyment, neither nor liberation. Aim of life is to attain Krishna prema, to always serve Krishna. So that is something very, very rare. And externally sometimes it's difficult to recognize who is a pure devotee. There's a famous pastime when Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was coming to Vrindavan to meet Mahaprabhu. So on the way there was a brahmana who was all the time chanting Ram, 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 Ram. And he served Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. He took his luggage and served him in many ways. Although Raghunath Bhatta didn't want to take service, but he forcefully did a lot of service for him. And then when Raghunath Bhatta Goswami reached Jagannath Puri and paid obeisances to Mahaprabhu, that brahmana was also there. But Mahaprabhu didn't even look at that brahmana. He didn't even acknowledge that brahmana. And Raghunath Bhatta Goswami said, Lord, he served me so much. He's such a nice devotee. He all the time chants Ram, Ram, Ram. And later when he went away, Mahaprabhu told him, although he's chanting Ram, 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 but what is his desire? He wants to become Ram. You know, the Mayavadis, they also chant Mahamantra. But when they chant Mahamantra, they want to become Krishna or become Ram. Just see, what a low-grade mentality. There are many Mayavadis in India, they chant this Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But the mentality is that I will become Krishna one day. I will become Ram one day. This was there even 500 years back, Mahaprabhu's time. This Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, this brahmana, he wanted to become Ram. He was all the time chanting Ram name, but he wanted to become Ram. So therefore, even externally someone may be practicing devotional service or chanting Krishna's name, but what is his mentality, what is his consciousness, or with what aspiration he is chanting that? That is very important. And we are so fortunate that through Srila Prabhupada and his followers, we have come to this, the highest conception, the most purest form of bhakti, in which we don't desire anything other than to please Krishna. That's the only aspiration of a devotee, that I simply want to please Krishna, I want to serve him life after life. I don't want anything else. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadishya kame, mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktir ahitukaitvi. So this is our only aspiration. In fact, devotees, they pray. Like once someone asked Srila Prabhupada, why we chant Hare Krishna? He said, we chant Hare Krishna to chant Hare Krishna more. So it's not that we are chanting Hare Krishna and one day we'll stop Hare Krishna. No. It's an eternal thing. Like Rupa Goswami prays that I want millions of ears and millions of mouths so that I can chant your names. Even Prithu Maharaj, he prays that I want millions of ears so that I can hear your glories and your pastimes. So this is the aspiration of a devotee. He eternally wants to serve the Lord, eternally wants to chant his holy name, and it doesn't matter for him whether he is here or in spiritual world, his activity is the same. Once I heard a very nice example in one lecture that Prabhupada once quoted, that dhenki is an instrument that was used in earlier times to take out rice from the grains. You know, we have this rice paddy, and from there you take out the rice grain. So yeah, dhenki is something in which earlier time people used to crush it manually and take out. Now we have machines. So dhenki, so actually I heard from Bhakti Sahin Maharaj in a lecture he was saying when he was in Vrindavan many years back, that dhenki, Srila Prabhupada gives his example, that whether the dhenki is in earth or in heaven, the function of dhenki will not change. That instrument is used only to take out rice. So it doesn't matter for the instrument whether you keep it here or in heaven or anywhere. But that is meant to take out grains, rice. Similarly, a devotee, doesn't matter for a devotee, pure devotee, wherever he is. In heaven, in earth, in Golok Vrindavan or wherever he is, his only duty is to serve. So it doesn't matter where he is. Because wherever he is always engaged in serving Krishna. He is always engaged in hearing and chanting and rendering services to Krishna. So that is pure devotional service. And of course, we may not have reached there, but at least if you are trying to remove the desires of bhukti and mukti, and if you are sincerely chanting the holy names and doing services, one day we'll come to that stage. Like once Srila Prabhupada was asked, how many pure devotees are there in the movement? And he counted number of devotees, said, these are all pure devotees. That, so we are not pure devotees, but in the path of pure devotion service at least. We are following the right path. Another example that Srila Prabhupada gives is mango. So we have mango. So mango, green, initially it's unripe, right? Green mango. But the same mango, if it sticks to the tree, then in due course of time, the mango will become ripened. And become, earlier it's very sour, right? Sometimes devotees didn't have good behavior, like sour mango. But when the mango sticks to the tree, then gradually it will become very sweet, ripe mango, yellow in color. So similarly, we have come to the right path and we just stick on to this path of devotional service, stick to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, stay in this movement, and if we practice Krishna consciousness properly, then we'll also come to the stage when we'll also be freed from all the desires of bhukti and mukti. Like Srila Prabhupada says that whether to enjoy in this world or to get liberated. So we'll be freed from both of these desires, bhukti and mukti, and then we can taste the highest form, the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. So just shared some points. Any questions, comments? Yes, please.
The gopis came to see Krishna.
It's not working.
And, Krishna told him, go home. Okay, good, you came here.
Yeah.
But then eventually he satisfied them, and then they started feeling like, oh, we're alone with Krishna and we're doing nice devotional service. So Krishna disappeared.
Right.
Because he felt. And then they saw that, oh, he's only with Radharani. She's more fortunate. But then Radharani said, oh, I'm tired, so Krishna picked her up, and then she started feeling very proud. He also again disappeared. He accepts all kinds of devotional service. He accepts all devotional service, but he doesn't like that Bodhi is proud of his devotional service. So how do we, I mean, look at the extent, we're just in a very low platform trying to do some right devotional service, but the gopis were experiencing direct contact and serving Krishna, but that pride still creeped up in their minds, and even Radha, it says that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not that they don't criticize him. But it's that Krishna, he doesn't like when his devotee becomes proud, then he changes his attitude towards the devotee.
Right. Yes, so you mentioned a very nice thing, is that Krishna never tolerates pride in a devotee. But if the devotee is sincere, then Krishna arranges in such a way that the pride is gone. So after that, when Krishna disappeared, then all the gopis came together and chanted Gopi Gita. That's how the next chapter after this is Gopi Gita. So all the gopis, Radharani, they all came together and they chanted the beautiful prayers that we chant in the month of Kartik. Jayati te dekam janmana braja. So they literally cried for Krishna in separation and chanted these beautiful verses. And in the Krishna book, if you see, interesting, Prabhupada says they all came together and chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when Krishna disappeared, then their love for Krishna increased further. So when a devotee is very sincere, then even if these bad qualities sometimes may prop up, but Krishna arranges things in such a way that he gets rid of those bad qualities, those anarthas. That is Krishna's love for devotees, that he takes charge of the purification of a sincere devotee. Yes, Raja. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Prabhu, as Prabhupada has said that you should finish your business in this lifetime.
Yeah.
So what happened to
you? Yeah, this is also sometimes seems a little contradictory, that we hear that pure devotees, they don't aspire even for liberation. But Srila Prabhupada made this point so that we don't become complacent in bhakti. So his point is that we should be very serious. That we should not think, oh yes, we can perform bhakti for many lifetimes. So sense of urgency should be there. That this life is very limited. Let me try and finish my business in this lifetime. So in that context he mentioned this. And he mentioned that even his Guru Maharaj, Prabhupada says, you should say that, finish your business in this lifetime. So that is for the sense of urgency in bhakti. But then, when you see in the stage, when you, this is, because in the beginning we are not very serious, to make it serious. But when one comes to the stage of pure devotional service, then for him doesn't matter. When you come to that stage, where it doesn't matter for you whether you are here or there. But initially for us, because we are trying to enjoy in this world so much, therefore to bring a sense of urgency, so Prabhupada says this, that finish your business in this lifetime. And finish your business means what? To become pure devotee. And then it's up to Krishna, where he keeps us. Yes, he will take, but when he will take, I mean, it depends. Like, the devotee will be given chance. If he is not able to perfect in this lifetime, he will be given another chance. And first of all, okay, and also we don't go back to Godhead directly. We take one birth in a planet where Krishna performs pastimes. I'm sure you must have heard that. Many places it's mentioned that we go to a planet where Krishna is performing his pastimes in the material world, and there we get our final training, and then we go back to Golok Vrindavan. That is also there. Can you please repeat your question?
The person who is attaining Bhakti, isn't
he Bhakti? He does. We just read in 10th canto, Aruva Krishna Param Padam Tata Padanti Adha. So one who goes to Brahman, he can again fall down. But one who goes to the spiritual world, Golok Vrindavan, a planet of Krishna, he doesn't come back. But those who go to Brahman, because they are not satisfied there, because they don't get Ananda, so they come back. Yes, they come back. Yeah, they don't accept Krishna's lotus feet, so therefore they come back again. Yes, yes.
And after they come back,
that is an interesting question when they come back, but it doesn't matter. Once you are here, then eventually you have to suffer. Once you are here, then again you are in the cycle of karma. Generally Prabhupada says when they come here, they engage in philanthropic activities. So maybe in the beginning they may take a high birth, but then gradually in this material world there is always chance of fall down, so they may again fall down. Yes, unless they take shelter of Krishna, once they come to the material world, it's a question of time. You keep on changing different species. Okay. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.